Welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty, an industry podcast for loyalty marketing professionals. I'm your host, Paula Thomas, and if you work in loyalty marketing, join me every week to learn the latest ideas from loyalty specialists around the world. Just before we share today's episode, I want to ask you to sign up to the Let's Talk Loyalty email newsletter. Our email newsletter is by far the best way for us to keep you up to date with all of the latest incredible loyalty stories we're sharing each week. It's also the easiest place for you to find our show notes, with links to everything mentioned in all of the episodes. You can sign up at letstalkloyalty.com. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV. And today, finally, it's Starbucks. It's another one of the world's greatest brands and also our audience's favorite loyalty program, according to how many times it's been mentioned as the answer to our opening question with our guests. And of course, I want to say a huge thank you to our friends in Truth in South Africa for counting all of those entries over the last couple of years' episodes for us. As a global brand, Starbucks operates in 84 markets around the world. And today, we're here to hear about the incredibly successful launch of the Starbucks Rewards Program here in the Middle East, where there are over 1,900 stores in 11 Middle Eastern and North African countries. In this region, the Starbucks brand has partnered with one of the leading family-owned operators of international franchise brands, the Alshaya Group. And their portfolio also includes over 60 retail and restaurant brands like Victoria's Secret, H&M, Mothercare, and the Cheesecake Factory. The Alshaya Group now has over 20 years of success operating the Starbucks business in this region. So we are delighted to be joined today by Elisabetta Ayola, the Vice President of Marketing and Digital for Starbucks in the Middle East, North Africa, and Turkey. Starbucks Rewards launched in the UAE in February 2022. Followed by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait in October 2022. And to date, they've registered more than 3 million members. I hope you enjoy our conversation all about this world-class brand as it builds customer loyalty in the Middle East and North Africa. Elisabetta, welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
It's been a very long time coming. I think we first met about 2 years ago.
Indeed.
Yes, when you were pretty new in this region and starting work on this extraordinary project. So very excited to share the Starbucks reward story from Middle East and North Africa. First of all, as you know, we always start our conversations trying to get a sense of what do you as a loyalty professional really admire? What would you say is your favorite loyalty program?
This is not an easy question because there are so many. I have two which are top of my list. One is Hilton and the other is Oram. Hilton works for me and I like it because when you get to a significant tier level, it gives me what I need. It gives me the comfort of an executive lounge, it gives me the late checkout. So the benefits are very relevant to me, make my life easier. So tick the box for that. If you're not to a high tier, not that fulfilling of my needs. Aura comes in because I love the immediacy of how you can get rewarded there. So it's a program across multiple brands, so you can easily collect your points. Fortunately, brand cover quite a large spectrum of categories. So fits for me, fits for the family. So it's easy to earn, but it's also easy to redeem. The immediacy of spending in any of the brands and redeeming from 3 dirhams to 3,000 dirhams immediately on your bill is quite a thing. So this is why I love the immediacy, it's so easy. And so flexible.
Okay, so that's a key success principle, I'm thinking, for
yes,
a loyalty
my mind
program.
It is. Absolutely.
Amazing. Okay. And we will make sure, of course, to link to Aura because we do have a global audience. So we have people listening in the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, and everywhere else, as you can imagine. So Aura is very much a local program here in
it
UAE.
Is.
Yeah?
It is the loyalty program of the Al Shaya retail platform. So it covers all Al Shaya brands,
Incredible.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Starbucks, not yet, because we run our own program for the time being. But yes.
I'm sure there's a further discussion to be had about that one.
Absolutely. Big discussion always on.
Indeed, yes. And I've often said on the show, actually, particularly in the UAE, there are incredible brands like Al Shaya that do operate just these extraordinary number of different operations, whether it's fashion brands or restaurant brands. So the need to create a new loyalty brand can be quite complicated for consumers. So I know there's a big education job to be done, but Aura is doing incredible work. So hopefully we'll do a separate show talking about that. But let's get into Starbucks Rewards first and foremost. Tell us a bit about your background, Elisabetta. How did you end up with this dream job?
Well, I can't tell you that I am a professional in loyalty since ever. I've done loyalty as well, but my career is a bit of a zigzag across industries and different areas of marketing and customer management. Mm. So I started, interestingly, in the space of loyalty for Deutsche Bank by then, dealing with loyalty in credit cards with a touch of personal loan. You would say, what is loyalty? There is nothing more of a commodity than borrowing money.
Totally.
And this is why the big lessons I learned by then is you don't talk about the product, the financial product, with your customers.
Yeah.
Through the power of data. Already by then, more 20 years ago, knowing where the customer were spending their money, the borrowed money, you can then inspire them for the next purchase, the next family gift, the next renovation piece that you can afford if you renew your loan. So that was quite early time, but the lesson was fundamental. Resonating with customer needs to tell a story, which sometimes is not about the technicalities of the product.
Absolutely.
And this is how you nurture loyalty.
Okay. So it sounds like a baptism of fire.
Was, absolutely. From them, then was Ferrero. So nothing to do with loyalty.
Beautiful. Chocolate.
Learning brand.
Yes.
Learning chocolate for sure. Learning learning brand and product marketing.
Okay.
From there,
I
moved into retail.
Okay.
Was Metro.
Mm-hmm.
Metro is 30 billion, roughly, 30 countries, retail or B2B business, depending on the country.
Okay.
I launched the loyalty program in Italy, and I learned my second lesson, which is there is plenty of retail program. Another me too, really no need.
So that's very true. Yes.
The data were not powerful behind.
Okay.
So nothing distinctive in terms of performance, but a lot of learnings for me.
Okay.
From there, I moved to Metro Global Headquarter.
Okay.
And that was digital transformation. Mm. I started a journey on leading different waves of digital transformation. The learning there, which is still relevant in my role now in leading loyalty here, is how important it is when you operate on a global brand to appreciate the country nuances. So leading a center of excellence and implementing or rolling out a global platform would have not been possible with that terms of success and speed if we wouldn't have really focused on appreciating local nuances, exporting best practices from a market to another, but co-creating with the markets, because you can't just spread one blanket across all of them.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
So that has been my digital transformation journey. From there, I moved to another retailer in UK. And from there, I landed 3 years ago in Dubai on a job where the main task was launch the Starbucks loyalty program and build marketing capabilities.
Okay.
And here I am.
Okay, yes. And I think at the time you had quite a tight deadline. I think COVID and a few other things changed that deadline. And I think that was a blessing, actually, in disguise.
It is.
Yeah. So the program is live. Tell me, first of all, Elisabetta, you've talked about a couple of the reasons that people might do a loyalty program, such as data, of course, CRM. There's lots of different reasons that a business might decide, okay, it's time now in this region to launch our loyalty program. So for Starbucks in the Middle East, North Africa and Turkey, it's a big region. What was your primary business driver for taking what is, of course, a superbly successful global program and launching it in this region in just 2022?
Was in 2022, and the primary reason was definitely, if you want to support like-for-like growth in a business of that size, and you don't want to do it through promotions because, you know, it's detrimental to brand, and Starbucks is not a heavily promoted brand in terms of discounts.
Of course, yeah.
Then you need loyalty as a means to gather data and personalize and drive that incrementality in customer behavior, which ultimately is the goal of any loyalty program.
Of course, yeah. And how is it going?
It's going very well, very well. We launched a year ago, a year and a half ago in UAE, and subsequently in Saudi and Kuwait. It has been growing super fast.
Okay.
Essentially, we have today a 3.5 million members.
Okay.
But the penetration on sales and transaction is over 50%.
Wow.
Which is at the same level as US, Canada, programs which have dozens of years of longevity, not a couple of years, 1 year.
Yeah.
And there are, of course, reason behind that, I would say.
Yeah.
It's also doing well in terms of driving incrementality. Penetration is super high. General customer feedback is good, although the proposition at the moment is still very basic.
Yes.
So we don't have exactly the same rich proposition as US.
Okay.
It's a different program, different technology, and it's going to be a different proposition.
Okay.
Not in principle, but in the application.
Okay.
What do I mean with that? That, of course, implementing that loyalty program required to look into our customer base and what the customer expects. So not only the economics, but also what is the right level of VIP experience you want to give to your customers.
Yeah.
So we are going to implement some of the US ones, but also enrich with peculiar experience tailored to the needs of this market.
Yeah.
Our customers in the market are very wealthy. So the transactional value of a reward is always appreciated, but it's not the main driver.
Okay.
What they are looking for is the appreciation of their loyalty in the shape of a VIP treatment, in the shape of status.
Okay.
So we are learning that this is what they're really after. I'll tell you something anecdotal. Customers compete, friendly compete, for who has more stars.
Oh,
they tend not to redeem because they like to see 10,000 stars
on
their wallet.
That's amazing.
But this tells you this is a status element.
Yes.
So the transactional reward in for the top customer, the VIP customer, is ultimately secondary.
Wow.
And this confirms what is the first lessons I learned many years ago.
Yeah.
Loyalty, ultimately, in my understanding, is a behavior that has behind feelings and emotions, not a rationale, not a transactional rationale.
100%.
And this applies to people and applies to loyalty too.
Okay.
So this is why any loyalty program needs to look into which are the needs, the behavior, the attitudes, the social needs of your customer base to land any proposition locally adjusted that resonates.
Yeah.
So we took it step by step. We implemented the basics with an objective of learning. How it would grow, what the customer would show us in terms of behavior.
Yeah.
And now we are ready to launch a set of more tailored benefit to the so-called gold customers, evolve the proposition and so on.
Amazing. So you did launch just with the green tier, if I'm not mistaken.
We have a green tier.
Yes.
And we have a gold tier.
Okay.
But in reality, stated benefits apply only to the green tier.
Okay.
Very simple.
Okay.
You collect a number of stars, you get your free drink.
Okay. Yeah.
There is a gold tier, but the reward for gold customer is on a surprise and delight base.
Oh, I
means
see.
Means stated benefit is only a birthday drink.
Okay.
In reality, we constantly reward them through a tailored CRM that multiply the benefits for the loyal customer, the top loyal customer.
Yeah.
But this is not meant to be forever. At some moment, you want to give stated benefits, status benefits.
Yeah.
And we'll do, but now that we have enough insights to understand what matters to them.
Amazing. I'm really reflecting on what you, I suppose, shared and taught me just now about this idea that they still want to keep collecting because of the status. Like, when I think about people listening to this show, we always talk about the importance of the redemption, like closing the loop, making sure they earn that reward. It sounds like you're going to have to deal with almost the opposite, that that's not the driver.
It's not... that is true for our top customers.
Okay.
I do believe, and I mentioned that when I was saying Aura is fantastic because of the immediacy of rewards, right?
Yeah.
For any loyalty program, today is exactly about that balanced combination between immediate, easy reward,
of course.
Any time you step through the door, versus the more aspirational one, the big prices.
Yeah.
The combination between the transactional rewards and the emotional ones, the experiences side of things.
Okay.
So we know that different customers in different tiers behave differently, but for our top customer, where ultimately they don't really need a free drink.
Okay.
Understanding where they are positioned in terms of social demographic in this region.
Okay.
We love to offer something which makes them feel special. Today we do it through our partners.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the other, let's say, key success factor of this loyalty program. It's not a program that lends, it belongs to a brand with a strong DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And that DNA of the brand, which is all about coffee and connections, was absolutely perfectly interpreted by our partners in store. We call partners our colleagues in store.
Okay, yeah.
So they bring to life every day that connection with customer, and they know very well our loyal customer by name.
Okay.
So the loyalty program builds on that, integrates with that, give them a few information more to serve the customer in one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
So the loyalty program per se is not the loyalty driver. It complements, it integrates the loyalty which exists and you nurture every day through your brand expression and through your experience in store.
Yeah. Yeah, Starbucks always strikes me as one where the brand is so beautiful and really takes its customers, of course, very seriously and so ambitious, but goes back to, I think, its very origins as a place. I think the third place was
the
always
third place,
this concept.
Yeah. Yes.
Would you mind explaining that, Elisabetta, just for people who are not familiar with it? Because the first time I was like, what do you mean the third place? But I know it's the very DNA, actually, is what you
it
said
is
for
fundamentally,
Starbucks.
Starbucks brand is about coffee at the core and connection. It's about connecting people over a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And if you think about the first two places in your life is typically home and work.
Mm.
There is a third place where you have your me time, where you meet your friends, where you have your chill out time.
Totally.
It's a coffee shop. It's Starbucks.
Yeah.
Starbucks was designed to be the third place.
Yeah.
Today we are expanding that third place potentially digitally, but fundamentally, and especially in this region where coffee is a 24 hours deal. It's not only the morning break of the afternoon.
That's true. Yeah.
It is the place for your recharge moment. Mm. It's the place for your social time.
Mm-hmm.
More than ever, in terms of location, the third place makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And again, because it goes back to, I think 1972 was the very first Starbucks in Seattle. So to have that vision very early on, maybe not in the first year, but certainly I know when Howard Schultz got involved, it was something that he articulated, brought to life, and it's just very impressive. And we do all feel it. So yes, I think it has changed all of our culture. Yes. And having said that as well, though, I guess for me, this region is very much actually a culture that's centered around coffee. Would that be something that you experience when you talk to your Starbucks colleagues around the world as a maybe a nuance? Because you talked about regional differences, for example, already. So I'm guessing we do already have a maybe a predisposition to coffee and tea in this region. So I'd just love to get your perspective on that.
There is, this region is definitely about coffee and tea. You know, this is not an alcohol-free region. Of course, people revert to a coffee shop for their social time, as I said before.
Yeah.
And this is quite an interesting concept because a global brand is sometimes as strong as its identity is consistent country to country. We are pretty a special place compared to the Western world where Starbucks grew. Probably Asia plays the same role.
Yeah.
A different culture, a different environment.
Yeah.
So this is why a lot of the work with our colleagues from global or DMEA region is exactly about how do we keep the global dimension of the brand? How do we keep the fascinating power of the American brand?
Yeah.
But we root it locally. We root it locally means from the communication into what a coffee shop decoration looks like. So there are a number of elements that can root the coffee shop, although recognizable is a Starbucks wherever you are.
Of course.
Still talks about is a Starbucks in Saudi or is a Starbucks in UAE.
Yeah.
And this goes back to this element of the brand expression from communication into store design into the loyalty program. We are going to develop very likely element of experiences which make very much sense only for this region. Special VIP exclusive moments tasting coffee,
of course,
which for our customers, so keen on their status, so mm-hmm. keen on their being treated specially, make much more sense than another bigger discount
okay.
on something. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And this is where, still in the frame of a global program mm. with clear principle, mm-hmm. Some of the rewarding experience have to be tailored to the markets.
Of course, yeah. I will be looking forward to hearing exactly how you execute
on
that.
I'm conscious. I'm trying to tell without tell.
I can hear there's something coming, but it's too soon.
There is a lot coming.
It
yes.
is, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's 1 year in, yeah. You've shared some amazing statistics. I think the penetration of sales is something that is incredible for such
Indeed.
A young program. The number of people have signed up. What would you say you're most proud of, Elisabetta, in terms of everything that's been done? As we talked about, you know, you were building this program in the middle mm-hmm. Of course, the global pandemic. So you had a lot to deal with and you chose to go with a relatively simple execution and proposition for
yes.
now. So tell us, you know, what are you most proud of?
I think there are two or three elements. Number one, it was quite a decision to say, people might expect the same program as in US.
Of course.
We are, because
yeah.
it's one digital world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we are not going with the same. We
okay.
are going with something very basic. And
yeah.
we believe that the genuine love for the brand will let our customers still being inspired and choose to join the program.
Mm.
It was a sort of a big bet.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. So I'm very proud that we decided to take that decision and go ahead.
Yeah.
And it pays back because today we have a lot of learning without having burned
yeah.
offering experiences more complex, which might have not been resonating.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, of course, as anyone who builds capabilities, I'm proud of the team.
Yeah.
It's an amazing team.
Yeah.
When a basic program like that flies, because there is behind
yeah.
a powerful CRM,
mm-hmm.
or not technology,
mm-hmm.
rich.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of expertise, smartness of understanding how to segment and target.
Yeah.
So whatever our customer gets every week is designed for them.
Yeah.
And this is fantastic. So
yeah.
makes proud everyone.
Yes.
To say the simplest technology, the simplest proposition, still customer engagement every week is there. And this is thank you to the nature of the brand, the love for the brand
yeah.
and the CRM engagement.
Yeah.
And the third is how we could make Starbucks Rewards not a task and a deal of the loyalty team,
mm-hmm.
but a company, a
okay.
division thing.
Yeah.
Starbucks is a division within Alshaya.
Mm.
And this has been also one of the launch success factor.
Mm.
The whole company firmly believed in the potential of loyalty.
Okay.
And when we launched it with a set of choices of how to communicate, which were targeting nearly with the same power our colleagues in store, and
mm-hmm.
the customer.
Okay.
Knowing that if our colleagues in store are behind it,
yeah.
they are excited about it,
yeah.
they believe in it,
yeah.
they are going to be the first ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is valid for any loyalty program in the world. If your
yeah.
colleagues on the front line don't engage with that,
yeah.
don't believe in that,
yeah.
it's not going to fly.
Totally. You know, I've often said it on this show, you know, when I do go into stores and people say, are you a member of a particular program? I often say no, just to test them. And then if they don't, you know, articulate yeah. just a simple, you know, reason to join, I get so upset and frustrated for the loyalty manager like you and I, who's sitting behind, doing all of the thinking, loving the customer and hoping that the ambassador does the job at the point of sale. So sounds like you're very proud of what your team are doing.
Absolutely. I'm proud of all our partners in the store, in the three markets where we launched, because
yeah.
we don't have a huge variance in terms of the
yeah.
participation to the program, in terms of how in each store we have a certain number of members
okay.
and penetration, which means all of them embraced it.
Okay.
And this is usually
mm.
quite a challenge or an opportunity to cascade so powerfully from the center
yeah.
to everyone in every corner of Saudi Arabia
yeah.
or the Emirates,
yeah.
that loyalty program is worth to be reminded to customers.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
That engagement has mm-hmm. been key to launch,
mm-hmm.
to grow fast,
okay.
and is key to keep the engagement live.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And three countries so far. Are
yes.
there others, I'm guessing, in the pipeline? Anything you can
yes.
share or too
Not
soon?
Yet, but
Not
of
yet.
Course the plan is to expand.
Okay.
Is the,
yeah.
the learning, the time
yeah.
will allow us to do it, but definitely the plan is to expand.
Okay, okay. So you're going to be keeping super busy with all of that.
Yes.
Yes.
But I do believe that before going for spreading it into multiple countries,
yeah.
it's about making it work, deliver
yeah.
perfectly in your biggest market.
Got it.
Once you get the recipe, once you get all the lessons, the learning you need, then a fast rollout is more than welcome.
Absolutely. And I think something that people around the world might not appreciate, particularly would be Saudi Arabia. You know, I mean, it's a vast country. It's also a very youthful market and it is embracing change hugely. So I'm guessing that Starbucks is just super delighted and getting a great reception there. So as you said, if you can nail it there, then everything else will be actually quite easy.
Indeed. And it's true. It's a very... It's a 35 million population, 60% below 30.
Amazing.
So it's totally inverted proportion compared to the Western world.
Yeah.
And you know that the driver of your growth is going to be Gen Z. So our mission was, how do we engage Gen Z in general with the brand?
Yes.
How do we talk to them? Mm. How do we make them play with the brand?
Yeah.
And today... we have clearly a stronger component of our base built on Gen Z, dominant one, I would say. And this means that somehow the brand has found the language and the way to interact with them.
Yeah, that they're comfortable with. And I was thinking there just about language, actually, because sometimes, you know, Arabic, for example, can be quite complicated from a technical point of view. And here in the UAE, we're so lucky. I'm from Ireland, you're from Italy, we all speak English. Yeah. But of course, in other countries, Arabic is, of course, the natural language. So
is Arabic first? Actually,
of course, yeah,
which technically means you need to take your tech UX and go totally the other way around, so it comes with some complexity,
I'm sure,
absolutely possible to address,
of course,
but definitely it's about tuning in. So the problem cannot speak English language, it could, most people might understand, but if you want to resonate, and you want to be perceived as big community brand, you have to speak the local language.
So of course.
This is a
must. Absolutely. Yeah. And just on the technology piece, we never get into talking about the specifics, but just in general, are you using an external platform or is it all internal for Starbucks?
It's built through the collaboration of multiple vendors.
Okay.
And it's designed and delivered by Starbucks Corporation.
Okay.
Through a specific unit called Starbucks Digital Solutions. So in here comes the effort to take a global product and localize. We are in a constant collaborative, time challenging, but constructive dialogue about how that technology can serve us in the region, understanding what we need in terms of simply UX, what we need in terms of capabilities.
Yeah.
So it's a Starbucks global product building up.
Okay.
It's not the US technology, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I think everyone would guess it's the same.
Yeah.
No, this is a different one built for the rest of the world, the international Starbucks.
Yeah.
And we are adopting it and... in a constant dialogue of influencing how that technology evolves in terms of roadmap and how it meets our local needs.
Amazing. So it sounds like there's a global loyalty team for Starbucks Rewards and you get to input and they, of course, will support you. So what I always admire about roles like that is there's always these amazing global learnings. So I have a lot of role envy, actually, because I can imagine those conversations are super inspiring for you.
Are inspiring and challenging at the same time. But having been on both sides, global role, country role, I can sense which are the, you know, the goals, the intent of both parties.
Yeah.
So this is what happens when you move zigzag across industries and markets. You learn how the different side of the table might think.
Exactly.
So this dynamic is very known, the global to local.
Yes, absolutely.
And when it's healthy, it's a healthy challenge, it's productive.
Indeed, absolutely, yeah. I love the fact that you've worked in so many different parts of the world. I think I saw China as well on your profile, so.
Yes.
Yeah, there's something about that, I think, just opens up the mindset to, as you said earlier, picking up on the cultural nuances, recognizing when something might not be appropriate, learning from the local teams, because of course, they have the expertise.
Absolutely.
Particularly the partners and stuff. So what does the future hold, Elisabetta? Is there anything that you can say or is it all top secret at the moment?
Concerning rewards. There is a lot coming in terms of evolution of the proposition.
Okay.
A lot coming in terms of evolution of the user experience.
Okay.
Looking at the app.
Yeah.
This has been a relatively quiet year. So the program grew fast.
Okay.
From a performance, fantastic. In terms of offering to markets updates relatively slow for a number of reasons. We went through this journey of learning, understanding, aligning of what's next for the platform, what's next for us adopting that.
Okay.
Next year, I expect a much rapid pace of offering to our customers evolution of the proposition, richer proposition, VIP proposition, and so on. So I'm really looking forward for the first 6 months of the year.
Amazing. Yeah. So I'm going to extend the invitation right now that you come back to us again. Certainly, you know, by this time next year, update us on how the proposition has evolved. Of course, we're very excited to be using it, but to hear from you exactly why you're doing all of these things is just immensely inspiring. So hopefully we can count on you coming back on the show.
I'd be more than happy to.
Yeah.
Hopefully in this case, it's not going to be another year and a half.
Exactly.
Hopefully in 6 months, I'll be back here telling you how all the updates.
Absolutely. Well, every 6 months you're welcome. So as we said, you're the most popular program with our audience. So anything Starbucks does, we're super excited and interested to hear about. So listen, I'll leave it there for today, Elisabetta. That's all of the questions I have. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention before we wrap up?
Nothing special, just that sometimes we think loyalty, we think technology. Loyalty is fundamentally an expression of the brand DNA.
Yeah.
And it's all about making your customer feeling treated nicely, which is feelings. It's not currency.
Totally.
And this was the learning 23 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is still today on such a global program. So it's what I would leave everyone to reflect upon.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well said. So Elisabetta Ayola, Vice President of Marketing and Digital for Starbucks, Middle East, North Africa and Turkey. Thank you so much from Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV.
You're very welcome.
This show is sponsored by Wise Marketeer Group, publisher of The Wise Marketeer, the premier digital customer loyalty marketing resource for industry-relevant news, insights, and research. Wise Marketeer Group also offers loyalty education and training globally through its Loyalty Academy, which has certified nearly 900 marketeers and executives in 49 countries as certified loyalty marketing professionals. For global coverage of customer engagement and loyalty, check out thewisemarketeer.com and become a Wiser Marketeer or subscriber. Learn more about global loyalty education for individuals or corporate training programs at loyaltyacademy.org. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty. If you'd like us to send you the latest shows each week, simply sign up for the Let's Talk Loyalty newsletter on letstalkloyalty.com. And we'll send our best episodes straight to your inbox. And don't forget that you can follow Let's Talk Loyalty on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And of course, we'd love for you to share your feedback and reviews. Thanks again for supporting the show.